Welcome back to 770 CHQR and More Than Money. I'm here with Rob Geary, my co-host, filling in for Dave Popowich. We've had a lot of discussion off air. We've had a lot of discussion with clients about the markets and how the investment approach should be happening today, because it's a different landscape than it was 12 months ago, heck, even 6 months ago. And so we wanted to talk to one of our partners, one of the members in our portfolio that we work closely with, Ty Busada, portfolio manager and founding partner at EdgePoint Investment Group. Ty, you know, when you look at what's happening today with everything from geopolitical to inflation to rising interest rates, everything, how should an investor approach the markets today versus the last time you were on when we were looking at the markets? What's the difference today versus any time in the past that we've chatted?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some consistency with what we've previously said. Let me walk you through a couple of things that I think the investor should keep in mind when they're approaching investing. First of all, I think it's very important for investors to invest with an investment approach that they can understand. And why does that matter? Because it's not always going to be smooth, as you've pointed out. And what ends up happening is when there's a drawdown in the market, it can be very uncomfortable if you don't understand the investment approach that the managers that you've hired are using to manage your money. So at EdgePoint, we tend to use more of a common sense investment approach that's not that common in the market. We think about trying to be business people that buy businesses. So we approach it with the idea that we'd like to see revenue growth, and we'd like to see some barriers to entry in the business that are going to protect their margins, for example, and we want to see a good management team with a good management succession. And by the way, we want all of those great things, but we don't want to pay for it. So it's very bottom-up, fundamental in nature, and we take a long-term view, meaning we usually look out 5 years. And what we're trying to do is identify businesses that can grow and where you're not being asked to pay for that growth. So that's how we do things. That might make sense to some people, but for others it doesn't. But I think to answer your question, the most important point is whatever you're invested in, you should be comfortable with. Because when the markets drop, you're going to have to gut check yourself and say, do I understand how my money's being invested? And if you do, it's a lot easier to stay invested. In a lot of instances, add, because you understand that a market drop has historically, over the long term, represented good opportunities for you to invest. I think the second part of the answer about how investors should be approaching investing in today's markets has to do with the idea that investors should always invest with a well-calibrated sense of future regret. And what does that mean? It means, let me give you a few examples of what future regret could mean. Well, first of all, assuming that the past will be like the future has never really proven to be a good assumption over the long term, but it's something that investors regularly want to do. They get caught up in the latest fad of the last couple of years, and because it's been working, they want to stick with that, and they assume that what's worked in the past is going to continue to work in the future. I liken that thinking to walking up to a roulette table and putting a good chunk of your investment savings on one number at a roulette table. You probably wouldn't do that. But when it comes to investing and you think about the future probably has 500 different outcomes. And if you're just investing in your future, like the future is going to be what we've just seen in the past, then it's like you're just investing a good portion of your savings on one simple outcome. So what you have to do is be invested in a portfolio that is very diversified by business idea in order to avoid the future regret of assuming that the future is going to be like the past. I could walk through a bunch of examples later if you'd like, probably 50 years worth of examples in two minutes, of people constantly making the mistake over the last five decades of assuming that the future is going to be like the past and how it's never worked out. I think another thing that investors should always remember when it comes to having a well-calibrated sense of future regret is that you should never forget in the good times that there's a cost of admission to building wealth. And that cost of admission goes back to the conversation that we were just having about volatility. and the idea that there is going to be volatility in the market, and you have to approach volatility with the idea that volatility is the friend of the investor who knows the value of a business, and it's the enemy of the investor who doesn't. Most people define volatility as risk, and if you define it that way, like most people, you're likely going to regret it in the future. You have to look at volatility as opportunity, and you have to be invested with managers that you understand the investment approach of, and where you know they're taking advantage of that volatility on your behalf to build your wealth over the long term. So future regret number two is forgetting in good times that there's a cost of admission to building wealth, and that at some point in the future, there's going to be a drawdown in the market. And that's just the cost of admission to compounding wealth over the long term.
Yeah. Shall we get an example from Ty? We've got about a couple minutes left.
That's what I was, hoping for. Can you talk about some advantages right now that you're seeing and your team's seeing in the market for a theme or a sector in the market that you're taking advantage of right now?
Yeah, I think thanks Rob for that question. I think it's very important to highlight that what we try and do is diversify the portfolio as much as possible by business idea. So if you look at our global portfolio, for example, we'll have 35 ideas in it. And what we try to do is diversify away from obvious correlations and non-obvious correlations in it. And again, it comes back to the future probably having 500 different possibilities, and we don't know which path the future is going to take. So what we're trying to do is we go out and try and buy 35 businesses where we think we're buying future growth for free, but we want to have them diversified. So what's an obvious correlation? Let's say you had 50% of the portfolio invested in software companies, and it's supposed to be a globally diversified portfolio. Anybody could look at that and say, oh, geez, that's not diversified. There's an obvious correlation here where they're making, you know, a big bet on software companies. And then there's the non-obvious correlations. So, for example, what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, you know, if we owned 100% of these businesses, all 35 of them, and we approached looking at these businesses from a real world risk perspective, which we always do, what are the types of questions that we would ask ourselves? And one would be, for example, well, what happens if the price of oil were to shoot to $200 a barrel? What does that mean for these 35 businesses? Some of them that we own are going to do very well in that environment. Others are going to do poorly. Others won't be impacted at all. But we have to understand what those non-obvious correlations are. And what we try to do is diversify as much as possible so that you're not making an unintended investment in a non-obvious correlation. Another example, for example, would be what happens if the rate of inflation suddenly drops? So everyone's really worried about inflation. We talked about it earlier. What happens if, you know, inflation rates drop from the high single digit back down to the low single digit? What businesses inside our portfolios would do well, which ones would do poorly? And you have to make sure that under these real world possibilities that you're well diversified. Being this well diversified has helped us over the last 14 years, and it's something that we're constantly focused on.
So I love when he speaks to us, because when you tell us your view of things, the what if scenarios. So let's take that from an investment level, number one. Number two, we take that from a diversification perspective, the what if, and that also delivers the kind of performance that you've been delivering for the years that you've been doing this. I think that's been fantastic. So I want to, first of all, thank you for joining us on the show today. It's been really nice to have you on here.
Faisal and Rob, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the invitation.
The what if scenario, Rob, is something that even people who are transitioning to retirement should think beyond just their portfolio. What if interest rates go up? What if inflation is too high? How do you protect your savings? What if you want to travel around the world? What if a healthcare issue comes up? How do you bulletproof your retirement? That's going to be the question that people are looking for. And we're going to discuss our solution to that problem at our upcoming seminar.
Yep. So many things to think about. You need a plan. So join us Tuesday, March 29th, 7 p.m. This will be live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
On behalf of Rob Gehry, myself, we will thank you for joining us on More Than Money on 770 CHQR. We'll chat with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.